Hello and welcome to All Things Apostolic. My name is Casey Sees.
I'm Brian Williams.
And today we're going to discuss
door knocking and if it still works today.
Hello and welcome to All Things Apostolic. My name is Casey Sees.
And I'm Brian Williams.
And today we have with us the Executive Chairman of the Worldwide Pentecostal Fellowship, Nathaniel Urshan. Brother Urshan, it is so good to have you with us today on today's podcast.
It's an honor. It's an honor to be here, guys. I'm excited about some of the topics that we're going to be discussing today.
And so one of the things that Brian and I have been asking a lot of people is, in terms of methodologies and stuff that work for them in terms of church planting and whether it's processes, whether it's outreach, whether it's Bible studies, what they used, because him and I are church planters ourselves. And part of what we're doing is this podcast is one for individuals that are planting churches or have smaller churches, but two, in case our audience hasn't figured it out yet, we are trying to figure out what's going to work best for us. And so this is really our lab sessions where we kind of learn and try different methods and see what works in our areas. And I know one of the last individuals that we interviewed talked about some of his procedures. And one of the things he said was that he didn't, door knocking wasn't successful for him. However, I do know that that is something that was or is very successful for you. And so can you kind of walk down your methodology and kind of how you approach it?
Yes. It was not successful for me early on. I had to learn how to do it. So the reason why it's not successful is because it's using a different kind of a bait for the wrong fish. If you use a catfish approach to catching bass, you will not catch one bass. And if you use a sunfish bluegill approach to catching catfish, you won't catch one single catfish. And you could say, well, it just doesn't work. However, if you will use the right approach and go to the right spot and use the right bait, you will catch many. So early on, I made the same mistakes most people make. I just saw a door and I went and knocked on it. And I found out very quickly that you're very likely to get the police called on you if you do that. Apparently, people don't like you coming. So I thought, oh, boy, well, that doesn't work. So I prayed and I learned that there were places that people were open to it. So I had to go to the place where I probably had to call the police on them. If I found out that this works in a certain socioeconomic background. It works in what I call the lower middle class, upper lower class area. It doesn't work in high class areas. It does not work in extreme poverty areas, but it works in areas where the right kind of fish are. So this would be single parent households, it would be immigrant households, it would be people in a lower socioeconomic bracket, people who are hungry. So, and they know they're hungry. And I call it Nazareth. I call it Galilee. I call it the place where you have to ask yourself, can any good thing come out of there? And so that's where I went, and my success shot through the roof. Then my approach, you know, a lot of people make the mistake of just going up and inviting somebody to church. I didn't do that. I actually gathered data. I used data to inform my evangelism method. So I formed a survey. I called it the 60-second Bible survey, which the 60 seconds lets them know I won't be here long. And the survey lets them know that I am collecting data. And the Bible part lets them know it's about the Bible. My goal was to knock 100 doors a day, 500 doors a week, and 2,000 doors a month. That was my quota. That is also where I derived my sense of purpose and satisfaction. So I did not get my sense of satisfaction from whether I was accepted or not. I got it from me filling quotas. So if I knocked 100 doors successfully, I felt great. If I knocked 500 doors after the week, I felt great. And I put thermometers up that charted that progress. So psychologically, I could see those thermometers being filled. So in my mind, work was being done. Well, like anything, I got good at it. I learned how to use humor. I learned how to make an instant connection. I learned the kind of body language was most effective. And it got to where when I would knock 100 doors a day, I would get probably 10 positive, willing people for a Bible study. That translated into about 50 good contacts a week, give or take. Well, from those 50, I would probably actually get a hold of again a second time, maybe 20. And out of the 20, I would probably successfully land in an actual study 3 to 5. So I could get 3 to 5 Bible studies, actual sit down at the table or on your front porch Bible studies, 3 to 5 per week in a 40-hour work week.
Okay, so let me interrupt you just for a second there. How long each day, and was there like a target time frame? Because, you know, I guess a concern some people would have is if you get up too early, people are in bed. And then if you're doing this, you mentioned not going to the lowest low, but somewhere in the middle class. A lot of those people have jobs. So how did you kind of accommodate for that?
So I would knock doors about 6 to 8 hours a day. And I would do that Monday to Friday. And I had nobody in my church, so I had lots of time. If someone wasn't at home, I just left a flyer on the door and moved on. And so that wasn't 100 people answering the door. That was 100 contacts I made that I knew that it was at their door. They were receiving it. Realistically, I would probably talk to 40 to 50 people in a day.
Okay.
So, yeah, I would start at around 10:30, and I would go until about 5 to 6 p.m. that night. Ironically, the better I got at it, the later I stayed out, the more Bible studies I got, because folks there like to come out at night. And that's also the time. You're prone to be attacked at that time, too. So there's some interesting testimonies there.
Right. That's really interesting. And then, so how long did that take you? Like, let's just say from the time that you knock on the door, you get a contact, you're trying to convert this person. I know that it's different for every particular person. But the time frame that you're going from knocking on someone's door, then you're teaching them a Bible study, kind of walk through what you did there.
So, yeah, I didn't view it as convert. I viewed it as, well, I did initially. I thought, boy, I'm going to make a convert out of this. I eventually leveled up to, I'm just going to love this person and minister to them. And my success at conversion shot through the roof when I stopped viewing it as a conversion, and I viewed it as, I am Jesus's ambassador coming to their doorstep. Right. It varied. It could be as quick as they would be in church within 2 weeks. And some people, they never came. Some people, we'd do the Bible study. They wouldn't come, but they'd show up a year later. Really, truly, that there's layers to this. Within 3 to 4 months, I had so many Bible studies, I didn't know what to do with them all. And most of them were not good contacts. Door knocking contacts are very fragile contacts. They're entry level, low level contacts. It's the most fragile point of contact you can make. I mean, and a lot of times the people that will agree to a Bible study on their doorstep are a little unhinged. So another aspect of this is I'm not just looking for the person that answered the door. Most of the time, I'm going to get in there. I'm going to start teaching. They're going to be a little unique, idiosyncratic, sometimes flat out crazy. And so I would get to teaching them. Well, their aunt would be an RN and would be thrilled I was taking time with them. And I would actually wind up with the aunt. Or if I would, I would develop a relationship with them. Maybe they, one girl, she had epilepsy. So she was a stay-at-home mom. Well, you know, someone might say, well, that's not a good person for church. You need to be winning a doctor and a lawyer to the Lord. You know, you don't have time to be wasting around with low level people, but they're missing the point. That's a soul. First of all, that's a daughter of God. She became my most loyal saint, but she became a network opportunity for hundreds of people through the community. And so just that one girl won countless people to God. And introduced me. Once you get into a family and network into a family, you stop being that guy that knocked on my door and you become my pastor. You become the greatest thing. This is, look what God has done. And it goes like wildfire. So to the second part of your question, how long? It's not just individual conversion. It's also how long did I knock on doors? I probably really only did this for 2 or 3 years because by that time I had so many contacts and I was so deep in the community that it was word of mouth and I couldn't keep up with the demand.
Right.
So one question I have is what did that survey look like? So what are the types of questions that were on this 60-second survey?
It's 11 questions. And it started out simply, do you believe in God? Do you believe in a personal relationship with God? Do you believe that if a person had a personal relationship with God, their life could be better? Do you believe in the Bible? Do you believe the Bible was given to us by God? Do you think God expects us to live by the Bible today? And it's just yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. Those are introductory questions. Then it becomes, have you ever heard about the return of Jesus Christ? And then it becomes, when he returns, do you feel that you'll be in the group he takes with him? And that is where you see the eyes open or their head would drop as the weight of the question would hit them. And then it was, would you be interested in connecting again to talk a little bit more about it?
So did you have, so I know you said if you knocked on a door and someone wasn't there, you left something behind. And so was this like a church card or was this like a flyer that actually had these questions, survey questions on it?
No, it was just a church advertisement, just a flyer that I made up. I went down to FedEx or at that time it was Office Depot, and I would make me a little flyer on a generic little background with the church address on it. It was nothing special. It was very, I mean, I wish I could tell you it was some big marketing fancy thing, but it was me and a stack of 100.
Well, it's interesting because I think that gets at a point. Like, there is no magic bullet here. Really, it looks like what you're doing was a lot of what we would call in business grinding. A lot of grinding. You're out there and you're repeating the same things over and I can see where it might get in many ways boring. You said you found fulfillment and in doing that particular thing, and you had to. I'm sure, like for me, I would have to get myself into a mental space to call that fulfillment, because I can tell you knocking on doors, I do it now, but I got to get myself, I got to go through all kinds of Houdini moves just to get myself mentally there. So, I mean, did you deal with any of that or what did you do?
I did. Mine wasn't boredom though. Mine was fear of rejection.
Yeah.
And I got past that within the first couple of weeks. And honestly, there was once or twice where my life was actually at stake. When I say I didn't go to ghetto areas, very, very, like where there were many homeless people or many streetwalkers, I never found much success there. It wasn't lower class. It was upper lower class, lower middle class. So
these people had jobs. Is that right? Would you say they had jobs? They weren't like, yeah, like you said, homeless.
No, I never had success with the homeless. I never had success with the people sleeping on the bench. What I had success with was people, they were trying, but yet they were still hungry.
Yeah.
And it's like a sweet spot on a golf club. I can take a city within a month. And if I do this legwork, I can tell you where your pockets of faith are.
Now so that's interesting.
Right, so do you figure that out through knocking different doors and the responses you get in that area? Or is there something when you walk into a community that you're looking for specifically that lets you know that?
Good question. I'm sure there's more sophisticated ways to do it now. I'm old school. This is 1998 to 2001 that I did this. I think that I could go to a city now with the experience that I have, but you're never going to get better data than the boots on the ground. I mean, that's true of political canvassing. That's true of any grassroots movement. This is a grassroots movement. And so any young man that is very serious and is willing to, as you say, grind, they can do this. And I learned to love it. So at first I had to work myself up, but I don't anymore. I adore it because more miracles happened during that time. When I got past my inhibitions, I got to where the gifts of the Spirit were operating. I cast out devils at that time. I literally prayed for people and they were healed on the spot. And there's probably been 50 people that received the Holy Ghost on the spot over the years. Wow. And so once I got to the point where I was almost discarding the survey and into full ministry, just because experience, what did the Bible say? They have their senses exercised by reason of use. And that happened to me.
Wow. So I do have a question when we get off the podcast. When we're finished, would you be able to text me or email me those 11 questions? And would it be all right for us to put those in the show notes for anybody that might be listening to utilize for themselves?
Yeah.
Because I think that'd be helpful. It's not necessarily about the questions. It's a doorway, right? It gives you something to say. Cause I know a lot of times when you go out, it's like you knock on a door, man, what am I going to say? Well, if you've got it all down and it's leading to that last question, cause the first ones are just kind of setting the tone with the last one being, hey, when he returns, are you going to be ready? It kind of puts the weight of the question right there. And
that's it.
You kind of get some rapport with the person before you ever get to that last question. So you're not leading off with, I know some people used to go out and do the street ministry. Hey, when you die, you know if you're going to heaven or hell. And that was the leading in question. It's like, there's no rapport there. And people just look at you a little weird.
No rapport. And something else. You have to use all of the tools in the charisma toolbox. So every situation is unique. Sometimes I would come up, people would be crying. Sometimes I would come up, they would just be staring off into space. Sometimes, it's hard to explain what I'm about to try to explain to you, but when you get out in the field, this is actually how it works. It's almost like you're having a private joke with them. And here's what I mean. I learned to walk up to people and I would say, hello, my name is Nathan. I'm in your neighborhood. I'm doing a 60-second Bible survey. Do you have 60 seconds? You've got 60 seconds. Come on. And I start smiling. I'm making eye contact. And what they do is that connects on a subliminal level. And they go, I guess I've got 60 seconds, you know. And it's like, wink, wink, you do. You know you do. I know you do. Come on. I'm out of here. And it's almost like you're letting them in on the joke.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to explain it any better than that. But that right there is your first point of connection. Once you get past that, they like you then. Once you're past, for instance, I went out with Boston Young one time there at the little church he was starting west of there in Sacramento. And we walked, we couldn't get anybody to do the survey. And I've never had that before. And so I immediately, my antennas go up. And finally I looked at him. I said, how many Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons are in this area? So we just did a quick Google search and there's like 100 temples right there. I think I know what's going on. So I just changed one little thing. The next house we went to, I knocked on the door and I don't know that I recommend this. I'm just raw and unfiltered when I'm out there. We knock on the door, the person opens up and they're like a deer in the headlights. And I said, I'm not Jehovah's Witness and I'm not Mormon. Do you have 60 seconds? And we got a Bible study.
That is good.
Yeah. Thank Brother Urshan. I did have a question. I wanted to know how much of having the last name Urshan had to do with your success in this? Is it because your last name was Urshan that people just started coming all from all over and you've got a big church because of your grandfather? Can you talk about that?
Yes, that drug addict was very impressed with that name. I've laughed before because I felt like the devil looked at me when I got up there and said, N.A. Urshan I know and Jesus I know, but who are you? So, no, it did zero for me, and I'm glad that it didn't. As a matter of fact, I didn't tell anybody who my family was. No one knew who my family was for probably 7 or 8 years. They were just first generation people. And so one day, I'll never forget this, we went to a conference. And in that conference, Urshan Graduate School had a booth. They were just getting started. And I brought like 50 of my young adults to that conference, and we go walking in there, and one of my guys comes running back. His eyes are as big as dinner plates. He said, Pastor, you're not going to believe this. Someone has started a school in your name. I said, they did. You've got to be kidding me. So, you know, they didn't know, and it was better. It was better for me. You know, I didn't rely on it, and it was better for them because I didn't want that to be the thing.
Okay. Hey, I got one more question. I know you got to go and you're very busy, but like if someone is starting, let's say in the first 90 days, church planner wants to start and, you know, they've got a lot of zeal and energy, but they don't know where to start. What recommendation do you have for them?
First thing I would say is work to prepare. Before you sow seed, prep the ground. You can make a lot of unnecessary work if you're not prepped right. So eliminate debt. That's not a big spiritual thing, but don't have huge overhead. If you've got to come up with $6,000 to live every month, you're in a bad spot. So eliminate debt. I had zero overhead. I worked for 3-4 years to eliminate all debt so that I could live on a shoestring budget and so that I could make it with very little need for work outside. So I could work odd jobs. I could live off of special offerings from churches who helped me. And I knew I could do that for 3 or 4 years before I really got to where I had to have serious income. So that's the first thing. Then hit the streets, man. Learn how to let me give a caveat to that. Now, with the digital age we're in, we get far more visitors from the internet than we do from door knocking. That's the truth. So I'd probably do a combination of both. For me, I can never get away from the streets. That's where the people live, man. That's my heartbeat was there. When I got to Roatan, my success rate went from 5 to 10% success to almost 100% success. That's how hungry they were. Every place I knocked on, yes, please come, please come, please come to my house tomorrow. I mean, it was amazing. It was third world. They hadn't been infected by a lot of first world stuff. And people, if they have, find the place of need and go there. That's what I would say. Go to Nazareth and it will spread from Nazareth.
Right.
Very interesting.
So, I mean, one thing you brought up there as we close out here, just want to get your take on this, is you mentioned with the age that we live in and the exposure of Instagram, could it be because of everybody used to getting stuff in that medium nowadays that door knocking might be more effective now than it ever has been?
Could be. It could be.
People aren't used to a regular touch.
Yeah. People are more lonely. They're more isolated. I would think it'd be a mixture of both. We do that here in Durham. We have people that go out door knocking. We will get more Bible studies from the door knocking and one-on-one, but we will get more visitors coming from the media side of it, just because we can canvas 50,000 houses with a push of a button. I mean, that's amazing. We live in unprecedented times. If I had, and I'll tell you this, this is something from the podcast and from our church streaming, that is becoming the de facto Bible study, and we're in people's homes all week long. It is a game changer. We're having whole families show up after they've watched our online Bible study for 3 months. They show up and say, "We can't deny it. We're here. Let's get baptized in Jesus' name." I've never seen this before, and it's happening.
Wow. Now, when you say offering Bible study, are you talking services in midweek, or is there someone actually doing a Bible study that is being put online?
So here in Durham, we promote the line upon line study that I came up with. It's the same Bible study I taught in Fort Myers. And on the Biblos podcast, if you go down to the playlists, the line upon line study is there. So we have little cards. We pass them out. People will get them. They will go walk through it sequentially. And I mean, I had a guy text me last night from Tracy, California. And he had, his sister had, he gave her the lineup online study. She came to Brad Allard's church and got baptized last night.
That's awesome. Or
Sunday night, I should say. And that's happening. And I think that the Apostolic Church has a golden opportunity there, that if they'll put something like that online, a person can have it at 2 a.m. in the morning. They can, you know, they're there. That really is where we're getting most of our results today.
And so someone can go on to the Biblos, which platform can they get that from? Your website?
They can go to thebiblosnetwork.org. And if they scroll down, they'll see the line upon line Bible study, and they can go through all 12 lessons, and it'll walk them from Genesis to the book of Acts. And man, I encourage everybody to have some kind of presence like that. I can sit at your kitchen table, or I can do it on your screen, however we want to do this. And that's the gospel. So
as a church planner, am I able to go and download something like that from your website to upload it onto mine?
You know, right now we only have it set up to where you would have to go to thebiblosnetwork.org, but there's nothing that would stop us from doing that. We could do something like that. I've always wanted to do something where a person could personalize it for their church, where they could just say, they could have a good teacher, me or Brother Wilson or whoever it is, and they're there and they go through it, and then your church's information is on there. Now that is happening organically.
Do you mind if I take your videos and just copy them word for word and just say it as if it's me, and then I can put that as me? Would that work?
As long as you don't copyright it, yes.
I mean, I figure like there's these things now you can get the translation from the thing, and it'll be my talking head and your word.
There you go.
It's a lot of work.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Brother Urshan. We appreciate your time with us today and walking through some of this stuff. This is real good. If you remember, I'll shoot you a text. If you could send those 11 questions over so we can put them in the show notes, I think they'd be very helpful. I'm already in my mind thinking, I've got some people in the church that I pastor that are very outgoing, that don't mind doing this stuff. I'm going to do it as well. But the more people we can get out there with that type of energy, knocking doors with a list of questions that guide them to that last one would be amazing. So I'm a work on implementing this right away.
Amen. I love it. We call those people the tip of the spear. And
that's right.
That's the way it works, guys. It worked for me. It can work for anybody.
Amen. Well, thank you so much. We enjoyed our time today. Look forward to seeing you in the future. Have a good one.
Okay. Bless you guys.
All right. Bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.